I guess you could sit and give speeches to women about sneers for 10 years, okay? But then you bring in a lady, a Balas Tshuva, who was a top fashion designer. And she says the thing that attracted her to Yiddish guy was sneers. Because she saw how demeaning and when they hear that, it blows them out of this. I was going to say out of their socks, but they shouldn't be blown out of their socks. Out of their shoes. Because it's like, whoa. It's much more real. It's like, so if you haven't given them this foundation that the Rebbe talks about, that a mother gives her children, you know, it's the feeling of this is the best, this is the greatest. And now you're struggling with kids who start wondering maybe other things are better and other things are greater. So what you have to do is look for opportunities to expose them to, you know, and not as an argument, not in an argument. You think it's better? Well, how come, if you think it's better, how come so-and-so, the super rich guy who had it all and this and that, and he gave it up to me from? Don't try to convince them. You don't attack it directly. And say, I'm going to prove to you this guy is better than... That's not how you deal with it. Indirectly, in other words, by bringing home more and more stories of... I tell you that the slice of life in the Lachaya is probably more inspirational for front people than it is for the prior people who read the Lachaya. You know, the front people read the Lachaya, they read about this prior guy who, like... You know, lost his job to keep Shabbos. Some guy in the army that people were talking against Jews, and he got up and said, yeah, well, I'm Jewish. Some people like, they need the reinforcement from the outside that we really have, that it's really Taka Better, you know. They need, unfortunately, a lot of them need that outside reinforcement. So I'm saying, you know, you bring home, you know, you look for ways and opportunities to, you know, to make the points without being overt that you're trying to make the point. You can't, because you can't, it's not an argument that you could attack head on. Sometimes you need the help of an outside person. That's also, because once you've developed a pattern of argument where it's the same old pattern. You take this position in the argument, the kid takes that position.
So you solidify his position.
Right, because each one gets more and more entrenched in their position, and it's like, you know, the roles are old and familiar, and everyone, like, you know, and even if today you came with a new chap, a new argument, no one's listening to each other, you understand? It's all. You have to, like, circumvent the argument. And, you know, say, wow, you know, I heard an unbelievable, inspiring story today. You know, not even directed at them. You know, when you're by the table and you're like this, you tell your wife loud enough that they can hear it. Whatever it is, you look for opportunities to, you know.
All the Bachurim that go out in the Mifsoyim are faced with this. You know, they're going into fried people who are rich and successful, and, you know,
it has to do with the attitude they came when they walked in the door the first time. Okay, that's whether they're going to influence or be influenced has to do with one thing: the attitude they had when they walked in that office building door the first time. What they came armed with, if they came armed with it, never, these poor guys spending their whole life making money and they don't have. The Shabbos Chassidus Rebbeim, they never experienced what it's like to learn about Bat Yamada. They never experienced the light bulbs going off their head in their heads and learning about Maimon Chassidus. They never experienced the uplift and the joy of the Simchas Space of Sheva, Simchas Teda, the inspiration of the Kir Shefa. Never! The kid walks around and he walks into that door and he feels sorry for these people. If he has compassion for them, they won't influence him, because he's influencing them. If he comes in and he says, now I finally get to see what the other side looks like. Hey, mister, you want to put on tefillin? Maybe put a few bucks in my push because I could buy lunch. So if that's what he's going for, he's going to be influenced, and he's not going to be doing the influence. I mean, he'll end up doing both. He'll end up influencing anyway, because self-kill-self, because the gate with the Rebbe's keches, whether we realize it or not. But they're going to end up being influenced. There's no guarantees. There's no...
Not that being successful is...
What?
Not that being successful is contradictory to being from, right?
No, I don't know. Everyone should be successful. Whoever wants everyone to be successful. Wealthy.
Right.
You gotta know how to be wealthy. You gotta know how to be a Chassidus Shagir.
Right. Without the Mercedes.
What?
Without the Mercedes.
Without the Mercedes. That's... You gotta be a Chassidus Shagir. There's one the Rebbe Rashab said on one chassid, imi b'mechitzas. He said on one of his chassidim that I can't be separated from him, he can't be separated from me, he'll always be with me. Who is this chassid? This chassid is Reb Shmuel Gerari. Shmuel Gerari was a younger man by the Rebbe Marash, was considered a budding prodigy. And everyone figured he'd be a Rav or a Mashpia or something. The Rebbe Marash, he came into Yechidus. The Rebbe Marash told him to go into business. And it'll be an Ash. So the Rebbe said, the last thing in the world he wanted to do was go into business. It'll be an Ash. But the Rebbe said, he wanted to business. But he understood that his Ashiris was not himself. It was a Shlichus. The Rebbe sent him to business. So when the Rebbe's son became the Rebbe, the Rebbe Rashab became the Rebbe, he was the main supporter of all the time consuming all the Rebbe Rashab's activities. In fact, the Rebbe Rashab once sent a shliach to him, asking him for a loan. And the amount of the loan was written in a sealed envelope. So the shliach knew he was going to get a loan for the Rebbe Rashab, but he didn't know the amount. He brought to Shmuel Gerari. Shmuel Gerari opened the envelope, looked inside, and he turned white. So the shliach said to him, "What's for a grabkeit?" The Rebbe was asking you for a loan. What are you turning white? Whatever the amount could be, turn white. What do you care about your money? I mean, the Rebbe asked you for a loan. What do you think the Rebbe's not going to pay you back? What do you? So he said, "No." He said, "I just now made a cheshbon of all my businesses and all my assets, and just this week my accountants made a cheshbon, and the amount that they came up with is the exact amount that they ever wrote in the thing. And when I thought, he said, and I realized I was his hashkafa brother, so that I was asking for that, because that's what he said. But when I thought about how my wife would react if she finds out, and how I have to do everything in my power to keep it a secret from my wife, that's what I read. Not Chas V'Shalom the amount. But the guy asked him after he had given him the check. He turned white, he wrote the check, he handed the check. He said, just, you know, I can ask you, like, you know, what's this? Like, why turn white? So he said, I thought about how careful I have to be to avoid my wife finding out that I just brought over all my assets to the devil. That's a chesed shigvir. That's a chesed shigvir. There's a lot of money out there. The Rebbe is waiting to pour it into your lap. That's a chesed shigvir. That's the usher bedas. If you're an usher bedas, then you can be an usher bedas. Usher bedas means... A real usher, right? What's a real usher? A guy's worth $10 billion. And somebody comes to him with a great business idea. And he really believes in the idea. And he'll borrow $15 billion to go into the business. He's only worth 10. He'll borrow $15 billion to go into the business because he believes in the business. You come to a guy who's worth $20,000 maybe, if you count his pension and his IRAs and this and that, and the equity in his house, and it's worth $20,000. The guy says, "This time I have a $15,000 investment." "You are worth 20. If you're 15, you'll leave me with 5. Listen, it sounds like a good investment, but what happens if it goes wrong?" So the guy with $10 billion is going to make a $15 billion and he'll leverage, he'll make a $100 billion investment. He'll leverage his $10 billion with this bank and he'll leverage it with that bank. He'll make a $100 billion investment if he thinks it's a good deal. Why? Because he thinks like a career. That's an automat. He thinks, well, I could turn my $10 billion into, I could also be out on the street. He doesn't think that way. Because he's got $10 billion bucks. The guy with $10 billion worried about being out on the street. Let's think about it. He doesn't make his cash point. What if it doesn't work? Then I'm out on the street.
Also, even if he loses his $10
billion. What?
I also heard, even if he loses his $10 billion, he can make it again because he knows that.
Right, because he's an usher. Because he's an usher, he can always
recoup.
The Rebbe's mom was sitting in a big shislach of Ashiris. It was like pouring and no one's sticking out their cup to catch them. Because everyone wants to be a Eilamish Gvir. A worldly Gvir. You want to be a worldly Gvir? You want to be a Chassidish Gvir? A Chassidish Gvir learns Nigla. A Chassidish Gvir learns Chassidus. This is a great Davins. This is a great gives stucker, whether he has it or not. This is a great Machus Eder. This is a great. He's concerned about everyone else's problems except his own. This is a great. He has problems. This is a great. He has everything. Look at this. This is a great. Anyway, this, we went inside this time. If you noticed, we actually did a
stuff. Too bad that guy didn't stick around for the answers to some of his questions.
He has it on tape now.